Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Wednesday. We are a day away from the opening of the National Football League season live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for joining us. A lot of options out there. Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Mark Schlereth today stops by. Rick Bucher, Nick Wright, Jonathan Bilma, former NFL great, now Fox NFL guy. Great to have him in the family. And Joy Taylor is joining me this morning. So it's starting to clear out. The teams we thought would win are starting to kind of win. It's clearing out here, Joy.
It's a great day, Colin.
It's a great day.
It's a wonderful day.
So instead of talking about LeBron James, which I am prone to do, memo to everybody, he was great. But James Harden scored 33, and years from now, people will say, whoa, what a night for James Harden. James Harden in the fourth quarter, in the biggest game of the year for the Rockets, took three meaningful shots. I could spend the next 10 minutes talking LeBron, but he delivers. Although he doesn't always play great, he is always engaged. How many series, how many possessions, how many big playoff spots does James Harden have to check out before those who cling to him finally acknowledge he's not close to LeBron? He's not the late Kobe. He's not Kawhi. I mean, Giannis, face of the league, I'm over it. Harden, greatest scorer ever, and Westbrook MVP, whatevs. Once again, fourth quarter, 82-all, season on the line, take a lead on the Lakers, three meaningful shots for James Harden. Folks, some guys are built for it. Some guys are not. LeBron was engaged, assists, points, blocks, leading, yelling, chirping. He never stops talking. LeBron's all over the floor. Harden, you can tell, gets passive. Yeah, Kawhi checks out occasionally on a Tuesday night in Memphis. But you got to say this for Kawhi Leonard. Spurs, Raptors, and Clippers, when you need him late, nobody like him to get a bucket and get a stop other than LeBron James. The NBA has never been about stats. If it were, Joy and I would talk about Karl Malone all the time. But we talk about LeBron and Magic and Bird and Michael Jordan. It's about moments. It's not about points. It's not about points. And James Harden had 33 last night. Congratulations. But if you watch the games and you watch the fourth quarter, and you're waiting for the big star to take over, it's a 50-50 proposition with Harden. I mean, LeBron James, without calling out James Harden, because Rondo has a history, and he's kind of a shot fighter. Rondo's got a history, and he's not close to Harden as a talent anymore, and he's way past his prime, but he's a big-game player. LeBron kind of hinting at what we all know to be true this morning about those big moments and how some guys just not built for them.
We don't know how many opportunities we're going to get at this level. Some people is built for this moment and some people are not. And I just think that when you've been in the process and you've been building your mind and your body and your soul for the postseason, no matter the circumstances, no matter the environment, then you're able to rise.
Can you imagine how we would rip LeBron if he only took three meaningful shots in the fourth quarter last night? LeBron is sometimes, and this happens to a lot of people, you become a victim of yourself. His standards are so high that I haven't, but people will rip LeBron for making a brilliant pass to a wide open shooter in a big spot, for not taking a bad shot. But this morning on Harden, well, he scored 33 points. Crickets. Come on, man. The book's written on Westbrook. It's written on Giannis. It's totally written on Harden. He's a great scorer, and that's kind of it. He's not a great leader. He's not great in big spots consistently. And by the way, I'd vote Hall of Fame. It's not about that. No, he's a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, at some point, Are we going to acknowledge now, outside of Kawhi, nobody in this league in year 17 is as dependable, as engaged, is the leader, is the force, is the... I mean, LeBron last night is barking and talking and blocking and passing and scoring. Harden's kind of... You watch him and you're like, is Harden on the floor? You never said that in the regular season. Once again, last night, you said it in a big spot on Harden in the postseason. So this is funny. I was saying this yesterday. When you love something, I mean, you really, like your kids, you're not very objective. Like, right? I'm not really objective with my kids. Yeah, you know, everybody's kids, they're going to be president. Maybe have a frat house, but they'll be president, right? And it's the same with football. We love football. We bet football. We watch football. You know, the old saying about the NBA, and even Adam Silver and the late David Stern know this. It's a great story league. People don't really watch the games. Look at 2 million, 1 million people. But it's a great story league. The NFL is the sport we watch. We watch bad teams. We watched the Cleveland Browns last year. We watch bad. We don't watch bad NBA basketball. We watch bad NFL football. We bet bad NFL football. And so we're so passionate about it that when you make an obvious comment, people get mad at you. People get all fired up. Nobody is objective about it. So this morning, Pro Football Focus says Dak Prescott is a legitimate MVP candidate. Fox Bet has Dak Prescott as an MVP frontrunner over Deshaun Watson, Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady. Daniel Jeremiah, one of the smartest guys in the country talking football, former scout, says, my predictions for the season, Dak Prescott MVP. I'm like, wait. He's got an aging offensive line. They lost a Hall of Fame center. Zeke's slightly slower every year. New coach, new system, and Dallas has struggled last several years to beat really, really good teams. I said yesterday I had my top 10, and I didn't have Dallas in it. In fact, I don't have Dallas 11, 12, or 13. People went nuts. So I thought this morning, I'm just going to offer five. I think these are completely obvious NFL takes for the season starting tomorrow. These are obvious. These aren't even contrarian. These aren't takes. So number one, the Raiders will be bad again because they were horrible last year. They couldn't score past week 12. They got blown out six times by 18 points or more. And with no preseason and OTAs, how have they sandpapered what was a mess last year? Oh, right, their division's great. Number two, the Patriots will have their worst year in two decades. Eight players opted out, lost several key free agents, the greatest quarterback left of all time, the best offensive line coach retired, and the division's better. Isn't this obvious? Number three, Joe Burrow's going to struggle. He's going to get mauled. He's not going to win five games. The division's better. The defenses in Pittsburgh, Cleveland up front, and Baltimore are scary. Burrow didn't have a preseason. He is going to look awful in most weeks. He's going to be completely, utterly overwhelmed. Number four, the Ravens can go undefeated. Have you looked at the schedule? They almost never travel west. They almost don't travel. They return everybody except they've added players. Easiest schedule in the NFL, according to people who make schedules and judge how difficult they are. They don't really have a weak spot. They finally addressed an average pass rush by getting Calais Campbell. And Lamar Jackson, really, that's the question? He won MVP. And finally, Cowboys will be average. I mean, 9-7 in the NFL is kind of average. I didn't say they're going to be bad. It could be average. Offensive line's getting old, lost a Hall of Famer. Zeke a little slower every year. New coach, new system, no preseason. Ooh, they got CeeDee Lamb. Since when have great wide receiving cores won the league? Last year, the Rams had a great wide receiving core. They finished 9-7. The Cowboys are going to be average. Washington's going to be a better football team. New York should be a better football team. Philadelphia cannot get hurt as much. I went and looked at the Cowboys' schedule this morning. You tell me where it's easy. It starts with three Super Bowl quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, and Russell Wilson. Then you get one of the most talented rosters, the Browns. By the way, in the middle of it, you have to go to Philadelphia. You play Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Those are loaded rosters. And at the end, it gets real easy. At Baltimore, 49ers and Eagles. Other than about week five to about week seven, I don't see the let up. I don't see the breathing room. I don't know. Raiders will be bad. Patriots worst year in 20 years. Joe Burrow is going to be completely, utterly overwhelmed. I mean, these are not wild takes. Cowboys are going to be average. I know. Send the hate mail. Oh, I forgot. Baltimore can go undefeated. Not saying they will. They can.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Leonard Fournette was the number one high school running back in high school, and then he was the number one running back in college. And then suddenly I'm supposed to believe in the NFL he's just no good, despite playing for a franchise that has suboptimal quarterback, offensive line, ownership issues across the board, right? Like everything, we're talking now about them eventually becoming a team in London. Leonard Fournette now has Tom Brady as a teammate. And this is, for the record, all Tom Brady wanted. Can we just be a little aggressive in New England? Can we not always go after defensive guys? Can we go after offensive guys? Does everybody have to be a developmental player? Can you get me talent in their prime occasionally? And they would not. So Leonard Fournette, the number one high school running back, the number one college running back, goes to Jacksonville, and all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe it's the surroundings. We do this. We forget it. So yesterday he's talking about being with Tampa, and he slips in a shot. And it's matter of fact, he's not snarky. He's not over the top. He's just talking and stating facts, and he got some heat for it. Here we go.
I don't really worry about expectations. You know, football is football. I've been playing the same game for 25 years. And, I mean, for the first time in my life, I really have a quarterback. So that's an eye-opener for me. And not a lot of pressure comes. It's going to come on me. You know, I guess it's going to be a lot of with me and him and a lot of other guys on the offense. But as far as, like, game planning and changing things, it's great for me. You know, I'm happy to be back there with one of the greatest, well, the greatest that played this game. And I get to learn from him, too.
What about that was inaccurate? His last 7 quarterbacks, college and the pro. Foles, Minshew, Bortles, Cody Kessler, Danny Etling, Brandon Harris, and Anthony Jennings. Translation, the box is stacked and everybody is staring at Leonard Fournette. Despite that, he's one of 3 players in the NFL that had 1,000 yards rushing and 500 yards receiving last year. Maybe you've heard of the other two, Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook. And now everybody's convinced he can't play. Are we forgetting where he's played at? I mean, don't get me wrong. McCaffrey has been more spectacular, but McCaffrey's got better teammates. Fournette caught 76 balls last year. Look at his quarterbacks. Look at the O-line. Had over 1,000 yards rushing. This is a tanking operation. In fact, per game, the most scrimmage yards per game in the last 3 years in the NFL, here's the guys that are better than him. Zeke, Saquon, McCaffrey, Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Dalvin Cook, all with better teammates. We forget this. The media has ho-hummed this. Oh yeah, Leonard Fournette is really good. And for the last 6 years, college and pro, has faced stacked boxes where people disregard everybody except him. Average to below average offensive lines. A team that is now, last year, was trading their best players away during the season. This is not a ho-hum thing. Like, the dude can play, and I think this is what Brady always wanted. Can we just be occasionally aggressive in New England and go for it? This is a go-for-it move. And I'm surprised how it's being ho-hummed by the media.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, it's funny. Nick Wright's going to have, you know, I'm not going to be antagonistic. I grew this beard, not because I wanted to, but because the beard gods said, you have so much wisdom. You need, I look like and feel like Hemingway. It wasn't even my choice. It just kept coming out of my face because it's wisdom. This is gray as wisdom. And let's go to Nick Wright, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You notice his beard doesn't have gray. Anywho.
Well, it's because I'm a lot younger than you. I don't know if it's wisdom.
All right, let's start with this.
Something like that.
Okay. At some point, people can bang on LeBron, but he is always engaged. People have bad nights. MJ had bad nights. Magic was called Tragic Johnson for a series. But when you're disengaged in big moments regularly, how do you explain Harden last night? What am I supposed to say about James Harden last night? Fourth quarter, three meaningful shots? Game of the year?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the takeaway last night, I was very surprised to see this was your response to last night. The takeaway last night, to me, wasn't about Harden, what he did or didn't do. I mean, he nearly had another 30-point triple-double. I thought it was just a massive missed opportunity for the Rockets. Russell Westbrook had one of the best playoff games he's had in years. Literally, look it up. It's just the second time since Durant left that he was over 50% from the field in a playoff game. The Rockets hit 40% of their threes, and they lost. Like, they have to win either game two when they hit 22 threes or last night when Russ and Harden, I thought, both played well. And I thought this was Lakers in seven. Now it looks like it's going to be quicker than that. But I think what is happening to Harden, listen, bang on Harden for game seven against OKC. That's totally fair. What's happening to Harden is he's going to look like a lesser player when he's on the court next to the guy who would make every player in the history of the league look like a lesser player. I mean, LeBron set the all-time record for playoff wins last night, and it's not even a headline over Rondo's 20-9 because we've become so spoiled to it. He had the most first-half points, Colin, he's had in a playoff game since the biggest game of his career, one Joy remembers very fondly, Game 6 in Boston in 2012. And then he responded to that in the second half by responding to the folks who snubbed him from the all-defensive team by putting on his own personal block party. Like, I think Harden looks bad because he's in the shadow of LeBron more so than he wasn't fully engaged last night. I mean, he's one of the six best players alive. He just happens to be going up against the greatest player ever to live.
All right. So I'm a patient man, but I do get tired of when, you know, it's like, okay, you got to watch Milwaukee. And I'm like, no, I think I have to watch Boston and Miami because I like their coaches and I like their young players more. And Milwaukee's not that young. Like, Nick, I'm over Giannis. He's a great kid. I'm over Milwaukee. Like, I would leave. Is that nuts?
Oh, it's not nuts. Listen, Giannis did something I think a little dangerous last night, which is he certainly made it seem as if Milwaukee offers him that supermax this summer. He's signing it. And I'm not encouraging Giannis to leave, but I'm also not encouraging him to sign it a year before he has to. They're going to offer him that next summer as well. And if I'm Giannis, I want to see if Bud learns and if Bud's going to be the coach next year, if the team can trade for Chris Paul, what they can do. Because listen, he obviously needs to improve his mid-range and half-court game. There's no denying that. But he's also a two-time MVP for a reason, even if obviously LeBron should have won this year's, even though we're just reminded again in the playoffs. Like, remember the moment, and I'll finish the answer in a second, but there's a great moment in December when the Bucks are playing the Lakers and Giannis had a great play fourth quarter and he mimes putting the crown on his head and he said, I wear this now. They should run that side by side with him receiving his MVP via Zoom from Milwaukee while LeBron's en route to title number four. But that's neither here nor there. I would, if I were Giannis, I would wait to make my decision. I wouldn't demand a trade. I'd play one more year and then see, because three teams are going to be after him with the cap space to do it a year from now. Miami, Toronto, Dallas. What do all three of those teams have in common? A coach who's won a championship.
Yeah.
Spoelstra, Nurse, Carlisle. And maybe Miami was the better team, but what Bud's lack of adjustments and Bud playing Giannis 35 minutes a game before he got hurt was indefensible. So if I were Giannis, I'd be a little frustrated right now.
Yeah. Let's go to the NFL. It's very interesting. You have been always, not a cynic, but very critical of Dak. You've never wavered on this.
Yep.
It is a quarterback league, and that's why Kansas City's great, and that's why Baltimore's going to be great, and why Seattle's almost always great. You have to be great at quarterback, and why New England now won't be as good. Brady's gone, right? So you have the Cowboys, despite your criticism of Dak, as the number one seed in the NFC, as the offensive line ages, as Zeke gets slower every year, mm-hmm. as they still have a Cub Scout as offensive coordinator in his third total year of coaching, and their schedule's no day at the beach, explain yourself with this Dallas number one seed stuff.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I'm not certain if I have them as the number one seed. I do have them going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
I think they're going to win the NFC. I don't know. And here's the rationale for it, Colin. You look at the other. So the NFC is very, very deep. What the Cowboys have going for them is all the other contenders have another contender to deal with in their own division, except for Dallas. San Francisco has Seattle. The Saints have your beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Packers, a lot of folks believe the Vikings are going to be excellent, particularly with the addition of Yannick Ngakoue. The Cowboys have two truly awful teams in Washington and the Giants, and then a team in Philly who's been snake-bitten by injuries, and shockingly, the season hasn't even started, they're snake-bitten by injuries again.
Yeah.
So that, plus the fact that last year, with competent coaching, I think they're an 11-win team. They have some close game regression back towards the mean after losing almost all their close games last year. I don't think you have to have the top five in the league quarterback play to make the Super Bowl. We just saw Jimmy Garoppolo make it. And so with Zeke, with that front four, I think they might add Earl Thomas at some point, and that's the biggest weakness on the team. I think the Cowboys win the conference this year. It's very odd because you'd been high on Dak. I was low. Now you've left. You're growing a beard. I'm going to have to shave mine. It's a lot of weird stuff's going on here.
You know, it's funny. I was talking yesterday, I think, with Joy about this, and I said, I feel like Lamar Jackson could get better, but I do feel I'm seeing this is what Lamar is. Escapability, work ethic. I've seen the ceiling. And I think he can make – there can be improvements, but this is what I feel I see. With Mahomes, it's different. He was 11th in completion percentage, 7th in passer rating, and acknowledge, I just figured out how to read a defense. I do feel like we lump them together. And I know you love Kansas City, but it's funny because I think sometimes we forget Kansas City was a really interesting story last year. Trailed in all the playoff games. Defense was kind of a mess until about week 11. I actually think Baltimore will be better this year, but I know exactly what Lamar and they are. I think Kansas City's got another gear. I'm just not sure if they hit it in that tough division. Your thoughts on that basic commentary?
Yeah, well, so I disagree it's a tough division. I know that you filed adoption paperwork for Drew Lock. I'll never totally understand that, but maybe you can explain it to me off the air. But I think other than that, you nailed it. I mean, here, and I'm going to add another level to it. And I think you see this across sports. Guys who win a championship early, what it frees them to be. Like, why was Kobe Bryant so fearless at the end of games? I would argue it was because he was never tarred with can't win a title.
Yeah.
Because he won one at 20 years old with Shaq.
Yeah.
Why was Tom Brady so much better than Peyton Manning for the bulk of their career in the most critical moments? Because Brady was free-rolling the whole way. There was never actual pressure on him. Manning was the number one pick who all of a sudden faltered in the biggest moments early, and then you could feel that pressure building on him.
Yeah.
The fact that Mahomes knows he's a fully minted, made man forever, and Lamar knows the exact opposite, which is no matter how brilliant I am, if Colin Coward's right and we go 16-0, no one is going to care. It's going to come down to 12 passes if I make or don't make in the playoffs this year. Mahomes can play with none of that pressure. And last year he was banged up all year. And last year Tyreek Hill missed time. And last year the left tackle missed time. And so for my money, I know you have a team going undefeated in the AFC.
Yeah.
I think you happen to have the wrong team. Now, I wouldn't pick either of them to go undefeated. But yeah, I think the Chiefs have another gear to get to. And I would expect them to be least affected alongside Baltimore by no preseason, no offseason, because same coaching staff, same coordinators, same players for the most part, just run it back.
That's probably your best take you've ever been on the show. That's a great take, that when you win early, you don't. There's no pressure.
You have the confidence.
You're just
the
playing.
The beard inspired me.
Yeah. Well, this is inspiring a lot of stuff, too. Not all of it good. Good seeing you, Nick.
I'll see you later.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tomorrow night, the NFL starts. Patrick Mahomes, the Super Bowl-winning Kansas City Chiefs, take on Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, two of the top, you know, six or seven quarterbacks in the NFL. It is very strange. We did not have a preseason. It's just got a weird feeling to it. It's just hard to believe that Tom Brady will be playing Drew Brees on Sunday here on Fox. I think I don't know what the ratings will be like. It won't be about end racism in the end zone. It'll be we're all out of sorts here. There have been days I forget there's NBA playoff games. It's September. So I think all of us, I'm a sportscaster, and there have been literally, I mean, I had to, like last night's prime example, I'm like, oh, come on, this is not, I got to watch an NBA game tonight. Not gotta, but it's on. So I don't think that many people are even talking about the NFL right now. So I make NFL predictions. I think I make my first ones after I wait for the season to end, coaches get fired, free agency, NFL draft, and then I make a prediction. And then I wait for, you know, injuries, preseason, then I make another prediction. Well, we didn't have preseason. But we have had some players opt out. We have had injuries, not many, cross your fingers, not many. So I put out my NFL predictions. Now I'm going to make a couple of amendments. So AFC North, I had the Ravens going 16-0. Let's make it 15-1. They could rest starters at the end of it. I mean, there's a very good shot that if it's a veteran team, they could rest people in week 17. They also play Kansas City 16-0. I still think they'll be the dominant team in the NFL. I still have them winning the Super Bowl, but I don't give myself any wiggle room. What if they lose to Kansas City early? I got to give myself a little wiggle room. It makes no sense. So 15-1. I'm also in the AFC South. I'm going to move the Titans up from 8-8 to 9-7. I do think Vrabel's a good coach. I think Clowney is very good against the run. And I thought a lot about this. I went and looked at their schedule. It's very beneficial early. Denver now has no Von Miller and no right tackle. That's a winnable game against the young quarterback. They get Jacksonville's tanking and then a bunch of home games. Pittsburgh at home, Buffalo at home, Houston at home, Bears at home, Colts at home. I got to be honest, until mid-November, there's like six home games. And I'm like, you know what? They could go on a little run here. So I think I had the Chargers going into the playoffs at 8-8. The Titans are now 9-7. I have them as a playoff team. So I have the Bills, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs still winning their division. Boy, I don't feel great about the Broncos this morning. I may move off that one. Broncos, a wild card team. Browns, I feel good about as a wild card team. I'm going to put the Titans in as a wild card team. For the record, they finish 9-7 every year, so it's not a big gamble by me. But I do think Clowney, I look at their just so many home games until mid-November. I'm going to go 9-7. All right, here's my other change today, and let's go with this. I'm going to take one win away from the Packers and give it to the Lions. So I had the Packers at 11-5. I'm going to have Minnesota winning it outright. Now, they were 13-3 last year. Everybody's bailed on Green Bay. I'm just pulling back a game. And here's where it is. Boy, their first 2 months, they face, and you can say what you want about Kirk Cousins. He's certainly capable. Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, more than half on the road. That is a rough, rough early schedule. Now, I think they're going to win a lot of those games. It does lighten up later, but saying it lightens up, they still have to go to Indianapolis. They still play Philadelphia. They got to go to Detroit. They play Tennessee. Those are not gimmies for a team that sometimes Green Bay in the last couple years gets pushed around when they play teams like Philadelphia, when they play physical teams like Tennessee, Indianapolis's offensive line. We've seen Green Bay get pushed around in games like that. So I still think Green Bay now. So the playoffs, it's not changing anything in the playoffs. Eagles, Vikings, Saints, 49ers win their divisions. Packers, Bucks, Seahawks. You know, it's funny. I think the NFC is so much better than the AFC. I really feel strongly about my NFC picks. Outside of Kansas City, Baltimore, it's a lot of guessing. Do I trust Cleveland? I'm kind of trusting them. I don't know what I'm getting from Pittsburgh. I'm kind of down on Houston's nonsense. I kind of like Indianapolis, but Phillip Rivers moves like a batting cage. There's a lot of stuff in the AFC I can't get my arms around. We had no preseason. I want to watch it. NFC, I like my picks. I don't have any problem with it. I don't see a lot of dark horses. I just think there's too many good coaches, too many good teams, too many good quarterbacks that are going to win a bunch of games in the NFC. I think the NFC is better and much more predictable.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, so there's this whole story about Giannis. Giannis is a great player, great kid. Is he going to leave Milwaukee? He's got a year left in the contract. You know, is he going to opt out? Whatever. Listen, I can't speak for Joy, but I think this is true. It was not easy to get here. We both work really hard. But if I would have been as talented as Joe Buck and had an easier option, I would have taken it. Don't confuse the difference between willingness to work hard. I have my whole life, and so have you. But if I would have been as good as Bob Costas at 28 or Joe Buck, and a network would have come to me at 28 and said, "You'll have to do local TV, come up to the network." Yeah, I would have taken that. And so Giannis can stay in Milwaukee and do the Dame Lillard route. Be loyal, be beloved, make max money, and win some games. I got no problem with it. Or you can do the easier route, like Kevin Durant, and say, "I'm going to go to a big city that attracts big stars and play with great players and win titles." That's what I would choose. I believe in hard work. But when you get to Springfield, Massachusetts, and you're giving your Hall of Fame speech, you don't get longer applause because your route was harder. When Shaq's giving his speech, nobody says, "You know, he left Orlando." When Kareem's giving his speech, I don't know. How could you leave Milwaukee? They care about the points, the titles, the rings, the moments. It's not going to be as easy for Giannis in Milwaukee. You could go down to Miami. Pat Riley's got 10 titles. He's now in his 18th conference championship as a coach, player, executive. Spoelstra's got 2. You got Aqua Water in the winter, a great free agent market. It's a plug and compete for championships for 8-year city because they've done it a bunch. It's not that Giannis doesn't want to work hard. It's not that Dame doesn't want to work hard. You can be a popular anchor in Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Memphis. That's a good life. But if you're an MVP, 2-time MVP, you don't get bonus points for struggling. Make your life easier. That's why I've never resented people in my industry that are really, really talented and they had famous dads as broadcasters. Hell, if I did, I'd have taken the advantage. My dad was an optometrist. I mean, you know, I didn't want to be a doctor. But if my dad was a sportscaster and I got a network gig because I worked really hard and maybe, you know, some connections helped me a little bit, not saying those guys wouldn't get there anyway, but I would have taken it. It'd be stupid not to. Take the easier route if it's offered. Don't be stubborn and rigid. It's this puritanical American thing like, "I've got to work hard." Most people work hard. But if somebody opens a door for you, take it. Aqua Water, free agent market, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, history of titles. That's where I'd go. Wouldn't be that tough.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So we've said analytic people in the NFL are now seeing it. I've been talking about this for years, is that Russell Wilson, I think, is the best football player in the world. But I have Seattle at 10-6 because even though he plays the most important position, Seattle's coaching staff does not let him be the best football player in the world. If you go look at the last several years, passes in the first quarter, fewest passes in the first quarter. This is funny. Seattle number one, Jags, Washington Bears. So basically Pete Carroll treats him like Blake Bortles, whoever's quarterbacking Washington, and Mitch Trubisky. That's why Russell Wilson is frantically coming from behind to win games. They're in a hole a lot because they run it too much. It's almost like Russell Wilson is a major league pitcher on a pitch count. He's the only great quarterback in the NFL, maybe in NFL history, that has a head coach that doesn't necessarily coach him for 4 quarters, allowing him to win the game. Pete Carroll wants the ball in somebody else's hands early in football games. Halftime deficits, he has to save the team. And I think that stat's amazing. Fewest pass attempts first quarter last several years. all those teams are bad at quarterback, and then here's the best football player in the world, number one. It's pretty amazing. And number one, like, you know, look at who's around him. And, you know, it's funny about this league. So they've started in Seattle. A local vocal segment of Seahawk fans have started a social media movement called Let Russ Cook. It's on T-shirts. It's all over Twitter. It's on social media. Let Russ Cook. Let him play. What is remarkable about this is that Bill Belichick is the greatest football coach we believe ever. He lost in Cleveland. He lost in New England before Brady. And he'll have his worst team in 20 years this year. When did he win? When he had a great quarterback. Pete Carroll was fired in New England. He was fired with the Jets. And he was 14-18 in Seattle until he got Russell Wilson. And we think Belichick and Pete Carroll may be the best two defensive minds in the NFL over the last 15, 20 years. These are great coaches. Belichick's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Pete's going to get a lot of votes for that. So even great coaches, as Herm Edwards always told me, I wouldn't have worked at ESPN had I had a great quarterback. I'd still be coaching. Now he's at Arizona State. So the great coaches, the guys that win games, Belichick, Pete Carroll, losing records before they get Brady and Russell Wilson. So the fans of Seattle now are seeing something that the analytics are telling you, loudmouths like me are telling you, people are now seeing it, is that let Russ cook. Mahomes, Wentz, Lamar are allowed first play of the game to be themselves. They're not in a hole. You're not handing the ball to people. You want the ball in Wentz's hand, in Mahomes' hand, in Drew Brees' hand. With Russell, he's the only great quarterback in the league. The team takes it away from him, forcing him to make miraculous comebacks, which he often does. But let Russ cook. Finally, people are buying into this thing that we've been on for a couple years here. This is the team. This is the guy. It's not Richard Sherman's great. Wasn't his team. Marshawn Lynch is great. Wasn't his team. Pete Carroll's great.